Everyone, it's good to be here. This is my first time here. I know a few people. So I see a few familiar faces, so it's actually good to be here. This morning, we're going to talk about a verse that was brought to my attention this past Sunday, and it made me think a lot about what the message that is appropriate for this time. So, if you notice in your bulletin, you know the title of the message. It's a strange one, right? It's called Middle Class Christian, right? It's one that brings a lot of ideas to your mind. And this morning we're going to discuss and we're going to see what this is all about. So before we start, if we can bow our heads and let's have a word of prayer. God, thank you for bringing us here safely this morning. I pray that you're with us. Use me to share the word of God today. I am nobody, but I know that the message that I've read is something that has been practical for my life. So speak to us today. In Christ's name, amen. So the message will not be too long today, but it will be something very practical, okay? So if you reopen your Bibles to Proverbs 30, I would like everyone who has a Bible to open here. There's going to be something really interesting. Proverbs 30, verse 8 through 9, that was the scripture reading for today. But before we start reading Proverbs 30, 8 through 9, let's just go back and get a little context, okay? So this Proverbs is actually written by a person named Agur. And not much is known about Agur, aside from the fact that he wrote this Proverbs, right? And something interesting that he's going to share with us is if we go to Proverbs 30, verse 1, it says, the words of Agur, the son of Jacket, his utterances. So his utterances, if we look at the original meaning of that word, it's his burdens, his worries, his concerns. He's going to be 100% open and 100% real about what's on his mind, okay? So just keep that in mind as we're going to read this verse, is that this is going to be a person who is being 100% transparent to God, okay? Can we be transparent today? Can we be 100% honest today? Is that okay? Yeah, let's see a show of hands. Who, 100% honesty? All right, well, let's read verse 8. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Interesting that he's going to start this middle section of the verse in this way. It says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. So again, he's saying, I want to be 100% real, but I can't do that, so I need you to remove these things from me, okay? And what he's going to follow up with is going to be him 100% genuine, opening his heart to God, okay? Now check this out. Keep your finger there. Go to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verse 6. Just a chapter back. Psalms 51, verse 6. Are we there? It says this, behold, you, speaking of God, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts, you will make me to know wisdom. So God's desire for us is to be 100% truthful to ourselves, right? And that is something that God appreciates, complete honesty, right? So we raised our hands that we're going to be completely honest today, right? Or are we having second thoughts? No? We're going to be 100% honest, right? So I'm going to ask three questions, and I would like you guys to answer honestly. Are you ready? Okay. So the three questions are this. I'm going to give you the questions, and then I'll let you think about them, and then I'll have a show of hands. Is that okay? Okay. How many of you desire to be poor? All right, that's question one. Question two, how many of you desire to be in the middle class, and how many of you desire to be rich? Okay, those are the questions. Do you have your decision? Will you be completely honest? Well, you said you would, so let's see. How many of you, show of hands, you could only answer one. You could only raise your hand for one of these. How many of you desire to be poor? Raise your hand. One. Interesting. Being honest, okay? How many of you desire to be in the middle class? Okay. Raise them high so we can see. Look around. Let's see about how many percentage, right? Okay, it's about half maybe. How many of you desire to be rich? I like the honesty. Interesting. It's actually split down the middle, right? And maybe you answered that you wanted to be in the middle because you saw the title of the sermon, right? Maybe that's why you answered. So I'm going to ask again. How many of you, we're going to be refreshed, okay? How many of you desire to be poor? Raise your hand. One, okay. Still being honest. How many of you desire to be in the middle? Okay. And how many of you desire to be rich? Interesting. Okay. So keep that in mind as we're going to discuss these verses, okay? So we're going to go to Proverbs 30, verse 8. We read the beginning. It says, remove falsehood and lies from me, and listen to what he says. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. It says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Some versions say, give me my daily bread. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? And lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. So something interesting that he's doing, I'm just going to break it down in simple terms. He's saying, I don't want to be too rich because I'll probably forget about you, right? Remember, he's being honest. I don't want to be too rich because I'll probably forget about you. And I don't want to be too poor because if I'm too poor, I'll have a need and a desire and I'll probably steal to satisfy that desire. So he says, don't give me riches and don't make me poor, but keep me right in the middle. Just give me exactly what I need. Interesting, right? So going back to the show of hands, right? Does our answer match what Agur is saying in these verses? Just something to think about. Where is the true desires of our heart? We're going to keep reading in 1 Timothy. If we open your Bibles, keep your finger here because we're going to come back to it. But 1 Timothy, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9 and 10. Let's talk about riches. Let's talk about being rich, right? 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10. Are we there? It says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolishness and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Interesting that it's saying that sometimes in the pursuit of wealth, in the pursuit of these riches, we actually end up losing our faith. Did you notice that? It's really interesting. And Agur is saying the same thing. He said, don't give me riches because I will probably forget you. How is it that he can say that with certainty? Probably because he's experienced it. He probably had wealth at some point in his life, and he's probably saying, God, like, I know my tendencies. I know my heart. And I know that if I was to become wealthy, I know that I would forget you. Maybe I already had a moment of wealth, and I realized that I wasn't even thinking about you, but I know that I would forget you. Interesting how when money comes our way, the things that we held so dear sometimes change, right? I was reminded of this example yesterday, and I wanted to share it with you. When my girlfriend shared this example with me yesterday, and I didn't think about it until she mentioned it, but we used to be coworkers. And when we were coworkers, I had one bottle of water. It was a Nalgene water bottle. You guys are probably familiar with these types of water bottles. But this water bottle, I used daily, everything. I took it to school. I was a college student, so I took it to school. I took it to work. I took it if I went to go play sports. I would take it for everything. And something about this bottle is that it was ripping. So I don't know if you're familiar with these water bottles, but they have a cap and they have a hook that connects the bottle to the cap so the cap never falls away from the bottle, right? But the hook was ripping. And I remember, she reminded me actually, that I actually sewed the plastic together. Yes, you heard that correctly. I sewed it with a needle and thread. And I sewed it together so that the cap would stay connected to the bottle, right? And she reminded me of this, and I hadn't thought about it, but I valued the bottle so much that I said, no, I can't get rid of this. Like, this is my only bottle. I got to take care of this, right? I sewed it together. What happened? Graduated college, you know, started a job. Now there's so many bottles in the house, you can't even count them, right? Like, we forget the values that we held so dear of preserving, like, no, I got to take care of this. This is my only one. Now it's like, who cares? We have so many, right? She also mentioned that before I only had two pairs of shoes, which is true. I only had two pairs of shoes that I would wear to work. And what happens? You're no longer a college student, and then you have 20 pairs, 30 pairs, right? What we thought was valuable in our minds at one point can completely change in a moment where wealth comes our way. And I wasn't even wealthy, but just a little bit of money, a little bit of extra change can change our values, right? And Agur is saying this. He's saying, God, like, if I was to be wealthy, I would probably forget you. Something interesting, right, that he's saying. What about poverty? You know, poverty in today's society is something that's kind of glamorized. I don't know if you've come to realize this, but it's become popular for people to say, oh, I'm from the ghetto. Have you heard that? Right? Like, it's popular, right? It's trendy. Like, you're cooler if you come from the ghetto. And if that wasn't enough, right? I was watching a video recently about this guy who is a t-shirt dealer. Have you guys heard of this? A t-shirt dealer? So it's exactly what you think it is. It's not a drug dealer, but it's a dealer for t-shirts. Strange as it may sound, what he does is he goes into these warehouses and he finds the oldest shirts, these really old shirts that we would consider vintage, right? And these shirts are ripped. Like, the neckline is no longer there. It's just like a drooping t-shirt, and then the neck is still there, but it has a hole right here, right? And there's holes all over the shirt. But he finds these shirts and he resells them to celebrities, to musicians, for thousands of dollars. In fact, he said the most he sold a shirt for was $17,000. Could you imagine? $17,000. It is popularized to be poor in a sense, right? My dad used to tell me that when he was growing up, if he had a ripped jean, it was embarrassing. He couldn't go to school. He said that he would patch it up. He would find anything to patch it up so that no one would see the skin through the jean, right? And what is it now? The ripped jeans is a trend, right? That's super popular. So, like, the trends are changing, right? What we once thought was poverty is now something that can be considered trendy or glamorous. In fact, Agur mentioned something interesting. He says that, don't give me poverty because I might have tendency to steal. Now, to me, when I first read that, it made me think, you know what? That actually seems kind of far-fetched, right? Why would you steal? Like, of course you wouldn't. Like, that's not the first thing that you would desire as a person in poverty. You probably would just say, hey, I want to work hard and, you know, achieve more. But you know what? The tendency to steal is very real. It's very real. And I will give you a personal example. When I was in high school, I liked to play a lot of sports. And because I played a lot of sports, a lot of the time, my parents didn't buy me many of the things that I needed for those sports, right? Not because they were poor, but because they had budgets, right? They couldn't be spending on soccer cleats, for example. So what happened in high school? I ended up stealing. I ended up stealing chains and reselling them, if not exchanging them for soccer cleats. In fact, I was so desperate to have the soccer cleats I wanted that I exchanged them. I exchanged these chains that I had stolen for a pair of soccer cleats that were one size too small, but just because I wanted to have those cleats. And let me tell you something. I wasn't even in poverty. Now imagine someone who is. Imagine someone who has a desire to have more than what they have at the moment. The tendency to steal is very real. And Agur mentioned that. He said, God, I might have a tendency to steal. So where does that leave us? Not rich, not poor, but just in the middle, right? If you go back to Proverbs 30, remember I said keep your finger there, Proverbs 30. He says, feed me with the food allotted to me. In some versions, it says, give me the daily bread. Now, this is super interesting to me because it basically is saying, keep me right in the middle, right? Keep me in the middle class. Now, I know for some of you guys are probably thinking, well, this is a little strange. That's a little controversial. But you know what? It's actually not a message about money. And this is what I came to the realization that the message and the Bible verse here is not specifically talking about money, but it's talking about our spiritual lives. Now, let me tell you something about the middle class. I was looking at some information about the middle class, and the middle class is the class that tends to live paycheck to paycheck. You guys know what that means, right? That they are dependent upon the next paycheck. You know, one thing that's happened with the situation with the coronavirus is that a lot of people, because they can't go to work, they're struggling to even provide for the rent, right? They're struggling to provide their family with food. So why is that? Because they were living paycheck to paycheck. They were just getting by, right? Also, another thing about the middle class is that they work usually morning till evening. It's usually a full day's worth of work, right? It requires effort to wake up early in the morning, sometimes 4 in the morning, right? To get to work early, or even working late hours, getting home past 7. This is the middle class we're talking about, right? Something else about the middle class is that they usually tend to have like blue-collar jobs, jobs that are hard manual labor a lot of the times. A lot of the times they're jobs that nobody wants to do, right? Jobs that require a lot of effort, whether it's construction or plumbing or whatever the case may be. You name it, right? Cleaning homes, different things like that. They require a lot of effort. So what does this have to do with our spirituality? You're probably wondering. Well, it's actually pretty simple. Think about this. Remember I asked the question, where do you want to be, right? Do we want to have riches? Do we want to have poverty? Or do we want to have to be right in the middle? It has to do with our spirituality. Think about this. A lot of us maybe are rich spiritually, right? Maybe we've heard all the great pastors in the world speak. We've heard a sermon. We memorize all the verses. We can quote all the songs. We know a lot of this information, right? We've been to camp meeting from every year that you've existed. You have all of this. You're rich spiritually, right? But you have forgotten about God. What does that mean? That actually tends to happen. How many times have you felt so rich that you say, you know what? Maybe I won't study the Sabbath school today. I think I know it. I've heard this story before. We feel rich, right? We feel like the knowledge is enough. Or maybe I won't pray today because, I prayed the other day. God knows me. And what tends to happen, the more you feel dependent upon yourself and the stuff that you've accumulated, you begin to forget God little by little. So there's a danger in being spiritually rich in a sense, right? Where we think that we've had enough. We have enough and we're accumulating all these things. See, I got all the tracks. I got all the CDs. I got all the Christian CDs. I got all the DVDs. But what does it profit us when we start neglecting our daily walk, right? What about poverty? You know, it's trendy to be poor, meaning to have no God. Did you know that? You know, in society that we live in, it's more popular to say, you know what? We don't need God. No, of course we don't need God. Like, that's just like a fairy tale. That's not for us. We don't need that, right? And what do? We start stealing lies about God from the people outside, from the people who don't believe, right? And maybe we neglect the things that we should be achieving. We should be getting closer to God. But because we've decided to stick where it's trendy, we say, well, I don't know much about God, but my friends are talking kind of about this. So that's probably what God is. Yeah, that's probably how his character is. We begin to take lies and we begin to build an image of God that is inaccurate because we've chosen to live in poverty. It's interesting if you think about people who have come from a hard background. Usually people share testimonies, right? People who have come from like drug addictions or situations that have been really extreme, what do they always say? There's no better place than to be close to God. Have you heard that? Have you heard that before? See, but it's interesting that a lot of the time people who are close to God say no, but I actually rather go into that. I'd rather go back to a partying lifestyle. Maybe I'll go back to drugs. Why? Because we think that that is where we need to be. But if anybody that's in poverty, they know that they want to come out of that, right? If you open the Bible, open your Bible really quick. Go to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verse 6. Psalms 34, verse 6. Look at what it says about poverty. It says, "The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble." If a poor man is crying out, it's because he is in need, right? You don't cry out unless you're in need. So anybody who has ever been in a situation of poverty, meaning like depleted from God, nowhere near God, that means that you are crying out because you desire to know even just a little bit of God, right? That's what God is saying. It's saying when they cry out, I hear them, and he tries to bring them to him. So what about the middle class, right? Remember, this is not a political message, but it's, in fact, it's a spiritual message. It's the title of the message is Middle Class Christians. When we raise our hand, who wants to be rich? Who wants to be in the middle? Who wants to be poor? The answer should have been, we want to be in the middle. And the reason for it is this. The middle class is the class, remember, that they usually work paycheck to paycheck. In fact, if you look at verse the one we just read, Proverbs 30, it says, give me my daily bread. Give me the bread allotted to me. It's not asking for, give me the bread for 1 month in advance. It's not saying, give me the bread 1 year in advance. Let me just hoard all these sermons so that I have it for the rest of my life. It's saying, give this to me every day, right? The middle class Christian is the one who seeks God every day, who looks for the daily bread, not just once a week, but every single day of their lives. Every day they wake up morning, early morning, right? The middle class is the one who works up early and goes to sleep late. They wake up early. The Christian who is in the middle class is the one who wakes up early and actually wants to know God in the morning, wants to know God late at night, wants to know him throughout the day. This is the hard worker, right? The middle class is the class that does the jobs that nobody wants to do. The middle class is the one that says, when everyone's saying, I don't want to volunteer for anything, they're like, you know what? If this is for God, I want to do it. You know what? If even though this might require effort, even though it might require me waking up early, even though it might require me spending an extra 30 minutes, you know, praying, I'm going to do it. It's not easy, but it requires effort. That is the middle class, right? This is, it's interesting, I'm speaking kind of figuratively in a way that the middle class is the one who works hard to find God. I'll ask you, I'll mention this, just because of the situation that's going on, a lot of churches are closed, right? Imagine if all the churches were closed. Just think about this for a second. If all the churches were closed, would you get your spiritual needs met? Something to think about. Because if you are the person who works hard, who seeks the daily bread of God every single day of their lives, then all your needs will be met. But if you feel like, you know what, even if church was closed, I've heard enough sermons, I think I'll be good, then you're spiritually rich and you're going to forget about God. Or maybe if the churches were closed and you had no knowledge of God, or maybe you never made an effort to know God, you're going to miss out and you're going to be spiritually poor. Because where would you get the knowledge of God? You might get it from the lies that you hear your friends. You might get it from the lies that are presented in the media. But if you're in the middle, you are striving daily to be in that relationship with God. Every single day, the daily bread. If you remember the prayer, the example prayer that Jesus gave, he says, give us this day our daily bread, right? It's something that we seek every single day of our lives. It's not something that we just accumulate. And that's the message that Agur is trying to say. He's trying to say, God, let me depend completely on you daily. It's not enough to just pile up knowledge. It's not enough to just have it stored away. And it's much worse to just try to steal my knowledge from somebody else. I want to have a relationship with God that's real, and it's real every single day of our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to have that. Do you guys want to have that? A relationship that we strive for daily, right? It's something that's essential. You know, I couldn't have, I was thinking about this and I was saying, like, this is probably the most appropriate message for this time of day. Because in a situation that we are in, who will be the pastor that will speak to us? It will have to be God himself. Because if churches were to close down, then you had to seek God on your own. That is your only hope. That is our only hope, right? And it's a message of encouragement. Because God will provide the daily bread for us. If you go back to the verse, Proverbs 30, and towards the end of verse 8, it says, give me the food allotted to me. Do you guys know what the word allotted means? It means it's something that has already been set aside. It has already been preserved for you, right? It's saying God has a provision for you every single day. Now, have you claimed that every day? Think about all the provisions that God has made for you that maybe you've rejected because one day you chose not to draw close to God. Think about all the wasted daily bread. Think about that. How many days have we been absent from the presence of God? How many allotments of bread have we missed? You know, it's time for us to take it seriously. It's time for us to say, God, you know what? I want the bread daily. I want to work hard. I want to be in prayer. I want to get to know you and have a personal experience with you. I don't want to have an experience that is based off of the experience of somebody else or the testimony of somebody else. I want to have my own testimony. I want to live my own spiritual life. I'm tired of just thinking that I've been filled by listening to thousands of sermons, coming to church every Saturday. God, I want to have that personal experience on my own. If that is your desire, I just ask you to stand because I want to pray for you. Because this is something that's very real and very urgent to our lives. It's something that each one of us needs. I will go, as we're standing, I'm going to go to Matthew 6. You don't have to go, but I'll read this for you. It's a verse that we should all know, Matthew 6, 33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All these things, right? Think about everything that you desire. Remember when I said, how many of you want to be rich? There's a lot of things that we desire, right? There's a lot of things that we would want. Maybe some of us right now are wanting health, right? God has said, if you make it your first duty to seek me, I will provide for everything you need. Your daily bread is waiting for you. It's right there for the taking. The question is, are we willing to strive with God? Are we willing to make an effort every day of our lives to say, God, like, I want to know you. I want to know what you have allotted for me today. And I know that many of you are standing, so I want to pray for you guys because this is something that's very serious to us. It's something that we shouldn't take lightly. It's something that is essential for our spiritual well-being. And not only for our spiritual well-being, but even for our health. Because God has said he will provide for everything that we need, right? So let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, you've heard our voices when we said we want to be completely honest with you. And you see the people who are standing this morning, God. You know that in their hearts is a desire to know you personally, to know you not just by a message that's preached once a week, not just by something they might hear on YouTube or on the radio, God, but they want to know you by an experience that they want to have every single day, God. We know it's not easy. In the same way that the middle class struggles to pay rent, they strive to provide for their families, God, we want to strive with you. We want to wrestle with you like the heroes of the Bible did, God. We want to spend that quality time with you. Let us not think about the hours. Let us not think about the minutes, but let us just think about the blessing that you're going to provide for us, God. Give us the strength because sometimes it can be discouraging. There can be many distractions in our lives, but give us even the ability to wake up even a little bit earlier just so we can spend an extra minute with you, God. Something so simple as that can make the difference in our lives. You know our hearts, God. You read our minds, and you know exactly what we need. And I just ask that you provide the daily bread for each person that stood today, God. And for those who may have not stood, you know their hearts, God. Speak to them in a very clear way and let them know that you will still provide for them. Be with us, God. Help us to be a blessing to others in a world that's filled with chaos. There's people who are just looking for one glimpse of hope. Help us to be the glimpse of hope that we can share to the community, God. Thank you so much for the blessing of being here and sharing this message, and the message that has impacted myself and my life. And God, help us to also share this message with others, God, that we have to live daily by the bread that you provide. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.